It's our last segment of Friday, which means our good friend Dan Klassen is coming on to talk a little fantasy football. Dan, as you know, is the host of the Fantastics on Sirius XM Radio. He's on the Get Sports Info podcast. Of course, he's an anchor and writer for Pro Football Focus Fantasy. Dan, did you have Derrick Henry on your team there, or did you have to go up against him at all this week?
Oh, my goodness. I did have a little bit of him in daily in the cap and showdown last night, but did not enough to take home the 25 G's or anything. But we cashed some tickets. But here's the thing. I don't think many Derrick Henry fantasy owners ended up in the fantasy playoffs. So I'm guessing a lot of those teams, and even the ones that did, likely on their bench. But what a game he had.
Wow. Do you know, and I know it's different from different leagues and all, but, I mean, where does his point total from yesterday rank this season? Was that the best point total we know of this year?
Well, it's only the second 50-plus point day of the season. Christian McCaffrey did the same thing.
That's right.
At the PPR scoring. You know, it's pretty uncanny, and you look at the fact that he had a big run in there, obviously helps the matters. When you get a 99-yard touchdown run, you figure you're in for a monster game, but that wasn't necessarily the case last week. We saw Adrian Peterson rush for 90 yards, a 90-yard touchdown in the Monday night game there against the Eagles, but he didn't even get up to 100 yards. So it doesn't always translate. So that's pretty amazing in itself, getting a 90-yard touchdown run and not end up with 100 yards. But either way, Derrick Henry, obviously a big game, but here's the thing. If you actually went against him, and the person had him in their lineups, you are now facing a monster task of overcoming. And it does change the way you get in that big of a hole. Guys that exceed projections that much in those Thursday night games, it does change the way I approach my lineup on Sunday, because now I'm swinging for home runs too. So it is not in a good, it's not a good spot to be in for owners facing Derrick Henry on Thursday night.
My favorite 90-yard run story is watching a college game years ago, and I think it was Jarvis Redwine for Nebraska had two 90-yard touchdown runs in the game and wound up getting benched late in the game because he had like 20 yards on his other 20 carries. But, hey, I was just wondering if, and I'm not in a fantasy league, but is it harder to pick your lineup this year than any other year, or am I just imagining it seems like there's so many games out of nowhere, both good and bad, like Drew Brees doing nothing on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think there's a lot of reasons. As somebody that tries to make a living out of predicting what's going to happen in the NFL, I can tell you it's never really easy, and you're going to get a lot of things wrong, but it's really finding the things you can get right. It's something like last night, like Derrick Henry. I mean, quite honestly, that's tough to predict. You're going up against Jacksonville. The guy's done nothing. Other times, not so much. You know, Philip Lindsay was a guy that just literally 3 weeks ago, if you were listening to my podcast or following me on Twitter, I was telling everybody and their brother at the trading deadline, trade for Philip Lindsay, trade for Philip Lindsay. And since I said that, I mean, here's a guy that is only being outscored in fantasy by Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. I think over the next 3 weeks, he's going to even do better. So some things are predictable, but all we do is really try to make educated guesses.
Dan, I want to jump right away into this week and a player that's near and dear to my heart, as well as to my two of my three fantasy teams. What can I expect? What do you think I can expect out of Aaron Rodgers with a new regime? Maybe a new, enlightened, excited, pepped up, fired up Aaron Rodgers? Or do you think it might be the same old, same old?
Well, I mean, let's face it. It's been a disappointing season for the Packers. And as you know, as a Packers fan, and Aaron Rodgers, I've questioned his health at times this season. But it's more than just that now. I mean, the matchup's better this week. So last week against the Cardinals, I thought it was going to be a nice storyline there. I think we all had expectations that weren't met in that one. But the Cardinals, they're a pretty tough matchup. This is not a team that's a walkover. So, yes, I think that with everything going on there, there's certainly a lot of other elements playing into this. But looking at it from a fantasy football perspective and, you know, how many, you know, what this matchup looks like this week as Green Bay now gets a much easier defense in the Falcons, I'm pretty optimistic that Rodgers will deliver mid-range QB1 numbers this week. Only the Cincinnati Bengals have given up more fantasy points to quarterbacks this season than the Falcons have allowed. If you take out the Lamar Jackson game, and obviously he's more of a rusher, but if you go beyond that, every quarterback they face this season starting quarterback, with the exception of Alex Smith and Eli Manning, has gone for three or more touchdowns against them. So, and actually, I don't think Nick Foles did that in week one either. But bottom line is, they're giving up points of junk. So I think Rodgers has one of his better days of the season this week. I don't know if it has anything to do with Mike McCarthy's dismissal or not, but fantasy owners don't really care the reason behind it.
Dan, let's talk some running backs now. Of course, the big news last week, the Chiefs releasing Kareem Hunt, one of the best backs in the league, of course, with its off-the-field issues. Now Spencer Ware takes over that backfield, takes over the number one running back slot. What do you like about Spencer Ware? What's his upside going forward?
Well, Spencer Ware is a player that I'm quite familiar with. I actually covered him as a high school football player. He started all 4 years here for the Princeton Vikings at quarterback inside of the Cincinnati area. So I've known him for some time and know he has two things. One, tremendous athleticism, and two, a strong work ethic. So I think he's going to fill in pretty formidable for the offense. I don't think he's going to put up the elite numbers that we saw from Kareem Hunt. We saw him have a pretty decent season a couple years ago, but what we are seeing right now are a plethora of running backs emerge on the waiver wire. I think they're going to play differences down the stretch. He's one of them. You also have Jalen Samuels in for the injured James Conner now in Pittsburgh. That's hot on the wire. Jeffrey Wilson, who is the starting running back for the 49ers, and Matt Breda already ruled out here. And, of course, the situation there in Los Angeles with the Chargers, where Austin Eckler and rookie Justin Jackson have been elevated in to a larger role with Melvin Gordon sideline. So it's amazing, but those guys I just named, and Ware included, could end up being guys that win people fantasy titles this season. And who would have ever guessed that even a month ago?
Dan, I'm glad you brought up the Pittsburgh running back situation. Of course, Jalen Samuel, one of the biggest guys out there in the free agent market this week. A lot of people are picking him up. But if you're a playoff team, can you afford to put in a guy, plug in and forget a guy like Jalen Samuel or even Stephen Ridley, I mean, who really haven't done anything at all this year or in the past? And I know Jalen Samuel is a rookie this year, but can you afford to just plug a guy like that into your lineup in the playoffs and just forget about it?
You got to do what you got to do. These guys are a factor because of players that were carrying owners are no longer around. I mentioned James Conner, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt. So, yes, I think in the, these are all circumstantial and based off of each team's choices, whether or not they go in the lineups. And, yes, every one of those players comes with a risk. And, you know, sometimes you got to roll the dice. So it is situation-based. I'm not going to bench, players that I have, I think all those guys are RB2s at best, and I think they all come with some risk. So I'm not going to sit, and it's crazy some of the questions I get on Twitter, but it does put you in the mindset. I'm not going to go and sit guys that have been getting it done for me, like, we talk about Aaron Jones for the Packers or even Lamar Miller for the Texans. Joe Mixon really struggling for the Bengals, but Sony Michel, I think, is another guy that fits in that category. These are guys that I have a better feel of, so I would definitely play them. Of all the running backs we talked about, the no-namers, if you will, the one I like the best for Week 14 is Jeffrey Wilson for the 49ers against Denver. I think that's going to be a very interesting matchup, and one that's going to be a little more higher scoring than some anticipate.
Well, Dan, let's do as we do every week. Give me some of your starters and guys that we throw on the bench here with the propositions, quarterback, running back, receiver, and tight end.
Yeah, I definitely think. I mean, I've already named a few things there, so we'll try to find some fresh names for you. But the quarterback position this week, what I'm really struggling with is I'm all in on Jameis Winston. I've got him against some other decisions that I have to make for my own lineups, and I've made the decision. It's like, I'm all in here. The matchup against the Saints, I think D's actually pretty good. So Winston probably falls down a little bit, but 25 fantasy points now in each of his past two games. And he's been a QB1 in every game he started and finished this season except one. So really like him this week. I'm not as high on Carson Wentz. I think the Eagles, they beat the Redskins with Mark Sanchez at quarterback the other night. But I think they're in trouble when they go to Dallas. The Cowboys D is phenomenal, and the Cowboys are a team on the rise. So I'm a little reluctant there. At the running back position, I wish I had started him last week, but I'm rolling with him again this time for sure. Tarik Cohen, obviously the Rams, the Bears. I think it's going to be a little higher scoring game than the Bears are used to playing in, but I actually like the Bears to win this one. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think they win this game, and I think they do it because Mitch Trubisky's back, and he's running and throwing the football, and I think Cohen's going to be a guy. And if I'm wrong, even if the Rams get a big lead, Cohen will get that game flow working in his favor, and that's a good thing. I can't trust Marlon Mack right now. I know I've got him on the fringe of my top 25, but, man, it's been a long time since we've seen him do anything. The concussion issues have been there, so he's a player I'm a little down on. Every receiver, let's go with Chris Godwin. He continues to get it done with Deshaun Jackson. I like Adam Humphries, too, there for the Bucs, keeping up with that team. Zay Jones, a sleeper receiver, on fire right now for the Buffalo Bills. Alshon Jeffrey, I'm going to sit him. We talk about the struggles of the Eagles, the tough matchup there at Cowboys. One of my favorite sleepers of the week, Vance McDonald of the Steelers. Everybody's talking about Jalen Samuels, Devon Ridley. I think it's just going to be Big Ben Roethlisberger, pimping targets around. McDonald gets a Raiders team that they've allowed the most fantasy points to opposing tight ends this year. 9 touchdowns given up to the position. I look for McDonald to get double-digit targets and a touchdown this week. And I'm going to bench Trey Burton. I benched him a long time ago. I actually released him in a league this week. I just think there's better options out there. He's too risky to play right now in fantasy leagues at this crucial time.